There have been repercussions throughout the day from the U.S. cruise missile strike against Iraq that took place overnight. The attack came after Iraqi troops seized the Kurdish town of Erbil in northern Iraq, reportedly killing hundreds of civilians. The town is within one of two no-fly zones established by U.N. resolution.
Britain and Germany expressed their support for the U.S. strike. France did not. UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali voiced his concern that the U.S. action might disrupt humanitarian aid to the Kurds.
Saddam Hussein vowed to ignore the no-fly zones and said any Allied planes that encroached on Iraqi airspace would be shot down. Still, U.S. officials said they will expand the no-fly zone in southern Iraq from the 32nd parallel to just north of the 33rd parallel.
The no-fly zones in northern and southern Iraq were imposed after the end of the Gulf War in 1991. As NPR's Neil Conan reports, they provided a justification for the continued presence of large numbers of U.S. and coalition warplanes in the region.
In the spring of 1991, as many as 1 million Kurdish refugees fled to the mountains along Iraq's borders with Turkey and Iran, after a post-Gulf War rebellion was crushed by Saddam Hussein. In the face of the humanitarian disaster, the coalition established an operation called Provide Comfort. U.S. and other forces were sent to northern Iraq to establish a safe area for the Kurds. As part of that operation, Allied air forces based in Turkey declared the area north of the 36th parallel off-limits to all Iraqi aircraft, a ban that remained in effect after U.S. ground forces withdrew. A year later, amid reports of massive human rights abuses against the equally rebellious Shias in the south of Iraq, a no-fly zone was imposed there as well, this one south of the 32nd parallel. It's known as Southern Watch. U.S. officials have always justified these violations of Iraqi sovereignty under U.N. Security Council Resolution 688, a post-war resolution that condemns Iraq's attacks on its own population. At the time, Richard Haass was Middle East advisor on the National Security Council.
There was a decision taken by the coalition, with the United States in the lead, that the no-fly zones were necessary implementing steps that the United States and others concluded they had the right to take, that was implicit, if you will, in the basic UN Security Resolution 688.
The resolution itself does not specifically authorize no-fly zones or call for the use of force. Jeffrey Laurenti, a policy expert at the UN Association of the United States, says he believes this is a gray area.
We've gone somewhat beyond the letter of the Security Council resolution, quite a bit beyond the letter.
And after Iraqi forces massed on the Kuwaiti frontier in 1994, a so-called no-drive zone was established in southern Iraq as well, prohibiting sudden troop movements. Yet all of these restrictions have not prevented widespread violations of human rights by the Iraqi regime. Jeffrey Laurenti says that over the past 5 years, concerns about Iraqi sovereignty have been overridden by fear of what would happen if Saddam Hussein was allowed a completely free hand. And Richard Haass, who now directs national security programs at the Council on Foreign Relations, says national sovereignty should not always be the paramount issue.
The rights of states and of governments are not absolute. If they violate the rights of their own people, in some ways they forfeit certain of the advantages of sovereignty. And I think Iraq is a textbook case of a country which, by its actions over the past decade or more, has forfeited several of the rights of sovereignty. And the no-fly zone is simply one way in which the international community has filled that necessary space.
Now, the unilateral U.S. decision to extend the no-fly zone is clearly causing new problems. France has so far just taken note of what a statement described as an American decision. And Jeffrey Laurenti says that much will depend on how long the U.S. plans to keep the new no-fly zone in force.
It's seen as a temporary measure just to force the Iraqis into pulling out from the Kurdish area. I think you'll see continued acquiescence, but there will be little appetite for ratcheting up the stakes if this is going to be the long haul.
The State Department spokesman said today that the new no-fly zone is effective, quote, from this day forward. This is Neil Conan in Washington.